A61, number 29B.
All right. You go on. Yes, can you see the idea of motherhood, of love? I always think of Mary, you know. After all, Mary was the one who saw the idea. She was really the originator of the saving mission. And I think in a way the Catholic Church is not off the track when she feels that Mary has a very big place in the theology of Christianity, because she could see for the first time the big idea. And how did she see it? You know, that Magnificat is so wonderful. I don't know it by heart, but there is in it something beautiful about motherhood. You know, I think the English rendering is somehow, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. You see, she could see the halo was on her, that she really could see that she is so big as the Lord, that she had a consciousness that could have a bigger sense of the Lord, and that if she would widen her womb to receive really the idea that all generations will call her blessed. She could see that. And this we have to do. We have to see that we are not giving birth something to it which is intellectual, which is just some kind of terms, but that it is a consciousness, terrific consciousness. And that consciousness is really the saving consciousness. So, as a further idea we have in the compendium, that love gives full compensation. Now you can see why this is love, that Mrs. Eddy says, that the law of love really brings full compensation for everything, because it gives that superabundance of love which says no matter what happens, it is not measured up in being. Love only knows its own fulfilled idea and never knows anything else. So whatever happens to the human sense and to the material sense, this is not balanced in the balance of God. God has only one thing, one attitude, and that is always to give and to give and to give, and always to see in every situation a saving idea. Therefore, when we translate that to our human experience, we actually should see in every situation, in every experience, whatever that experience looks like, no matter if it looks like that it is just wonderful or if it looks like as hell, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. Love sees there is an idea there that is big. That is big with promise. That's why a mother, you know, is not distracted if the little child does all sorts of silly things. She isn't distracted at all. She isn't worried at all. A good mother isn't worried at all. She knows this comes and goes, but the idea will stay. She knows the idea matters. She doesn't look at the temporary appearing of the phenomena. A mother is something wonderful. Metaphysically, something terrific, a mother. She just doesn't care what happens. She only has one idea. She never loses sight of loveliness. A mother is terrific. If we only could translate that mother sense into our whole human experience. If a mother has a child and the child isn't as beautiful as another child, she doesn't see it. It's always the most beautiful child. No matter if the nose goes up or down or is crooked, it's always the most beautiful child. You can do with it what you like. It's always the most beautiful child. If we only would do that with our experience, when we go through many, many experiences, if we only could always see, it's the most beautiful experience. We always could say yes to the experience. We only would always say, yes, I accept it. There is a blessing behind it. That was always something that impressed me with John Dolly a tremendous lot when I was a young student and began to know him. Whatever happened, and I tell you, things did happen, huh? He always said, well, there is a blessing behind it. And that was the end of the whole story. He didn't think twice about what happens and what was being said and so on. He just said, well, there will be a blessing behind it. That's the motherhood sense. He had a terrific motherhood sense. He was strong as a father, he was strong as a man, but a terrific mother sense, which was brought out in these attitudes of never losing sight of loveliness. Huh? Yeah? So, therefore, in love, there is always full compensation for every situation. It's terrific, huh? Humanly, we are always up and down. Humanly, we are always torn to and fro, to the right and to the left, and up and down, and forward and backward, and in every direction we are torn. Huh? Whereas love would say, no. Love only expresses itself in its fulfillment. There is no other possibility. There is no but and why that it shouldn't be that way. Love always expresses itself and manifests itself as an object of fulfillment. That's the attitude of love. Golly, if we would culture that and could have it, huh? If we could culture that for a year and come together again after a year, we would be a wonderful bunch of people, huh? But I know how much it takes. Yes. But the method is set, huh? Thank God we know a method. If we wouldn't know a method, we would spend all our life to be torn to and fro. But here we know a method, we know a way, we know the way, we know how to do it, and therefore we'll be able to do it. It takes a bit longer, but it will be done. So we have that full compensation. Everything is counterbalanced. We always have the reward of love, the recompense of love, the gift of love, yeah. Then naturally you have a sense of womanhood in love, all the woman qualities of the mother. Then ministering love, that's a very nice expression, love as ministering. The father doesn't do that. The father cracks the whip. Huh? But the mother, she has that wonderful qualities. Huh? Whatever happens, she's always there to give, always there to serve, always there to minister. Serving, serving, serving. And actually you will see that in Christian Science we never get anywhere without the sense that we have to serve the idea. Most students come, what do I get if I follow this study? What do I get out of it? They come and say, will it help me? If I go along your study and if I study, will it help me? Can you see? That's not an attitude. We should be willing to take up this study without even asking, will it help us? What will it give it to me? We should take it up because we want to serve an idea. We want to serve the truth. Truth, love, huh? There is a truth established, now love comes and says, are you going to serve it? Huh? Is there a ministering love there? Are we going to sacrifice everything for that idea? As long as we think, what do I get out of it, you can take it for granted. I put my hand into the fire. You will never get anything out of this study. Never. Never. You eat it up with your greed. It's an inner attitude. But if there is that sense of giving it to everything, no matter if I get anything out of it, then it will grow. And it will grow. That's a ministering love. She didn't call a greedy love, huh? She called it ministering love. She didn't call it a getting love. What do I get out of it? Nowhere in the textbook she says what I get out of it. She always says, what can you put into it? How can you serve it? Think of Micah. Huh? So, no, not Micah. The last one. Malachi. Malachi. Huh? Was all about ministering love. Are you willing to fill the storehouse? Are you willing to give? Are you willing to give the best? Or are you giving only that sacrifice which is anyway sick, a sick lamb? Do you sacrifice your sick lamb, your lame animals, because they are not worth anyway, anything anyway, huh? This is the point, huh? So Malachi says, well, be careful. Give your best what you have. Sacrifice your best what you have. Then it will grow. Beautiful. That's what Mrs. Eddy means with ministering love. See, she didn't write poetry and finding nice terms, nice adjectives for her synonymous terms. And so ministering is quite a poetic rendering, huh? It's nice, ministering, you see. No, these were life faculties for her, huh? Well, life substance for her. She knew what she was saying, that love must be a sense of serving, 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 giving, 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 ministering, sacrificing, sacrificing, sacrificing. Without that, it doesn't work. Yes, so you have the ministering love and all those sense of the loveliness of love. Love chastens. Why does love chasten?
It wants us to make progress.
Beg your pardon?
It wants us to go forward.
Yes, love wants us, huh, to be purified. Love does not want us to go along a wrong way. That's what is so nice about love. Love doesn't say, oh yes, you're on the wrong way, well, that's your job, huh? That's your burial, huh? That's not my job, huh? No, the nature of being is so that it says, I don't want that anyone goes the wrong way. I want him to bring back, huh? And so puts out executes all the forces of love to bring somebody on the straight and narrow. Though that doesn't sound very scientific, but a bit moral, but you know what I mean. Therefore, she says, love enforces. Enforcing. See, it's not the forces of mind. Love enforces. You can see what is the difference between them. When we say the power of mind, the forces of mind, the mind enforces, and love enforces. Do you see what love means in enforcing?
Yeah. Operation,
yeah, puts it in operation. No. Mind also puts in operation. Huh? Mind has forces and is action and has the forces and has attraction. But enforcing has always a sense that you have to put it into operation against an opposing power. Huh? Against opposition or against apathy, huh? It has to do it in spite of, not because of. Mind's action are because of mind. Love's enforcement is in spite of opposition, huh?
Isn't that more of a protective sense than a corrective sense?
In a corrective sense, yes, you can put it that way too.
So
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Love, that's nice. Love does not want to let us go. Yeah. Because love is never without its object of manifestation. Eh? Therefore, it never wants to let its manifestation go. And so in order not to let it go, it enforces the unity, it enforces that it manifests itself. Yes? Therefore, we can see that love is not so lovey-dovey. Hmm? That it's not always that kind touch, you see, with gloves. Huh? That it's a very strong hand, that it's a very strong hand. Huh? Yeah. All right, so we have love chastens, love enforces, forces us to accept what best promotes our growth. Huh? There you have it. Huh? Does not want that we are not the objectification of... Yeah. She says, love wants us to be tried and purified. Can you hear how disagreeable this is for the human mind? How love can be very disagreeable. It forces us to accept. It wants us to be tried and purified. And love requires many sacrifices of self. See, that's what most students do not want to accept. They say, well, if God is love, then God has to give me what I want. And does not accept that it asks of us many sacrifices. But she says love requires many sacrifices of self. Just see, these are the means that love, that, can you see that it's the Christ attitude of love? Huh? It's not love itself. Love just says, I'm never without my manifestation. The Christ of love says, in order to manifest that everybody and everything manifests perfection, I enforce it on everybody. And in order to enforce it on everything, I enforce them that they lay down their false concept. I enforce that. And that appears as sacrifice and as suffering and I don't know what. Then we have love knows no error. You see, truth destroys error. But love knows no error. Can you see the difference? Can you see how it is a higher? That truth destroys it. Once it has destroyed, it's no more there. Then we have a sense of peace and rest. And that's love, where we see no more error. And you can see also, always go out from that high point of love. Love never loses sight of loveliness. Therefore, it cannot know error. So, therefore, she calls it also that love is a universal solvent. To love there is no error. She says that to love there is no contest. Can you see now the difference between spirit and love? In spirit we had that spirit leads the warfare. That spirit, in spirit we have the battle of spirit, the struggle of spirit, the conflicts in spirit. And so spirit first had to lead that warfare. Spirit is necessary to be there first and say, I have first to decide what is actually error and what is actually true. What is actually positive and what is actually negative. I first have to decide that. I can't rely just on belief or what emotions say, this is good and this is bad. I need a real clean line of demarcation in spirit to define first what is good and what is evil, what is true and what is error. So it leads that warfare, that strife, that struggle. It begins to clarify that conflict. But in love you have no conflict. See, you have no conflict. There is no more possibility of conflict because you have settled it through spirit and truth. So spirit you have settled it and say, I have made a clear distinction. That's the sword of truth, sword of spirit. But the sword of truth has said, and that which is wrong, I have decapitated, it's no more, so the conflict is ended. In love, the conflict is ended. That's why we have in love peace, have rest. In love, we have the accuser is no more there. So we always know if we have touched love. We can always measure ourselves if we have touched the sense of love, namely then when we have no more an accuser. When within ourselves we don't feel any more an accuser, when we feel no body is any more an accuser, no situation is any more an accuser, we ourselves are no more an accuser, when the sense of accusing is overcome, then we have touched love. Because accuser always means there is an opposing element, an opposing power. So each one can check and test himself. Do I have touched love? And the answer is very easy. I can say, yes, I have touched love, and I feel I have no more an inimical surrounding. Can you say an inimical surrounding? I have no more an accuser. Neither an accuser within me nor without me. My consciousness does not know any more an accuser. And you can see that you can do that in two ways. One is to fool oneself, and the other one is a scientific way. The one to fool oneself is to be a good Christian. Then you can do it right away. It's easy. You just have to be a sissy. That's all. And you just say to everything, oh, that's lovely. Oh, that's God's way of doing it. Huh? And you have no more an accuser within yourself. It's the easiest way. You see, sometimes people think it's very difficult to be a good Christian. It isn't. It isn't at all. It's the easiest thing. You just don't have to be a man anymore and no more guts anymore. You just have to be a real good sissy. And you can do it. Then you can say to everything, oh, how lovely, how wonderful, how nice. Huh? You just don't put up any more a struggle. You just put up any more a good fight. Huh? And you let go and you capitulate. That's all what is needed, to capitulate before life. Then you have no more accuser. That's why there are so many people that run around and go around in this world. They are quite at peace. They are absolutely at peace with the world. But they don't do anything. They don't stir up anything. They certainly don't stir up the world. Huh? But the scientific way, you jolly well have to go through that whole clarification of asking now, what is really reality? Only ideas are reality, and you start with mind. Huh? And you jolly well have to see right through. Am I not going to be fooled by illusions and think illusions are not illusions? They are just God's way of doing things. You have to go that second step, huh, of deciding and drawing a clear line of demarcation. You have to go and struggle and be persistent in your way in soul and persistently follow it, even if it's hard and you have to be tough. Huh? Can you see that is quite a different way to arrive finally at truth, where you see, golly, if I have all these ideas of mind to life, then I have a compound idea of truth, and I have a consistent web of ideas being interlocked with all other ideas. I have a wonderful calculus of ideas that allows no more an error to come up, and then you have no more accuser. Then you get the peace and rest that is based on science and not on CCCC. Huh? Yeah. So, here, love knows no error. Yeah. Therefore, it's the redemption. She speaks about the miracle of grace. Therefore, love is our protection. See, if we never lose sight of loveliness, we are protected. Nothing can flow in. The great art is to see that enough flows out that nothing can flow in. a well of life that flows out. I have never seen something flowing into a source. It always comes out. Nothing that tries to go against the stream can ever reach the source. The source is too strong. It just carries everything out. And that's the well of life within us. Then we have touched that there is no opposite. And so we get to a sense of peace on the plane of love that we have already taken to see that everything is integrated in a bigger whole. This is so important. Don't forget that plane. A plane does not mean that everything goes in order. That's just order. Plane is much more. It's showing that everything and we too have a place value in a much bigger frame. That's plane. Then we are integrated in a plane. And therefore where we see, we are essential for the whole. God can't do it without us. Then you have the plane. All right. That's that. We did it, huh?